As I share with you all the time, the stories in Scripture do not change. Every Christmas period, you hear your pastor read the same Scripture and tell you the same story. Every Easter, you hear your pastor read you the same Scripture and tell you the same story. That's because the story does not change just because man's decided they don't like it the way that it's written. The story that God has given us focuses on your individual life, your individual existence. God says, I got you. God says, I'm with you. God says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. God lets us know that when we are a part of His family, there's no power in existence anywhere that can change that. God said, I love you. I love you just like you are. I love you when you're right. I love you when you're wrong. You will never control God's love just because we have those bad cases of stupids doing things we wish we hadn't done and then trying the rest of our life to forget them. Then you'll get around your friends and they'll remind you of it. That's why I tell you all, back away from all the past. You don't need to be remembering, because I guarantee you, either somebody in your family or friends will remind you of how you used to be. But you see, it's not who I used to be that matters. There's no power in what I used to be and all the mistakes of my life. The Lord tells me to look forward. And He tells me to look forward to Him. I have a path for you. Satan will tell you that you are not worthy of that path. And the fact is, I am not worthy of that path, neither are you. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about who Jesus Christ is in us. Amen. He happens to be the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That story is not going to change. He is who He says He is. You tell him, Moses, that I am, has sent you. Now you tell me that didn't shake him up. Who is I am? Well, it seems that Moses understood that I am that I am. Now you got to remember this. Moses, as a human being, hearing the voice of God, and for all the skeptics, listen to this. Moses, when he went to the mount and he had to investigate the burning bush. Remember that? And now you will hear all the historians, all the great educated scientists of our time letting us know it was very common for that sagebrush type of bushes to just ignite. Spontaneous combustion. I mean, it just happened. So they said there was nothing different about what had always happened. But they don't tell the rest of it. It burned, but it continued to burn. It didn't burn up. It didn't just light up for a little bit. Moses had to climb up to see. He had to know what that light was. That light, that voice that came to him, as a leader, God had put in place. The voice of Almighty God is the same voice that His Son used when He came. And the prophets of old spoke of the coming of the day you and I are living in right now. The coming of the day of the Lord. The first advent. The scripture says that the prophets prophesied of this great day that you and I are blessed with. Then tells us something else. The prophets longed to see what you and I are getting to live in, but they did not see it. They did not get to live in it. So does that mean then they quit preaching it? No. That's why everybody told them they was crazy. No. And when you tell folk that you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, when you tell folks that you believe that Jesus vicariously took my fault, my guilt, to that cross, he died on that cross for me, for my sin, and he arose from death, I understand where they're coming from when they say, you're crazy. Because you see, if you can figure out a God that the world seems to be following, or our God, I understand everything he's doing. Did you know that Christianity, all of us, we are in Christ and we have no clue. We're not even told when he's coming back. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even know. Now, does he know now? If he does, he won't say anything till he comes back. You know why? He said, that's of my Father. While on earth, he said, no man knows the time or the hour, save my Father. And then he says, not even the Son. That was him. What was he trying to get across? The human condition will never, ever, ever have authority over the spirituality of Almighty God. Now, Lord, I'm going to go over here and pray for this person. And about the time I slap them upside the head to be healed, I want you to touch their life and heal them. Do I do that in this church? No. Because I know you all too well. And I would be on the floor. Because God touches the heart. The greatest healing that you or I can ever have is the healing of hope. The prophecies of the coming Christ equaled hope for all existence. Hope for the world. And how much more blessed it's a generation, which is us, that is born in the period of the time, the church age, when we experience the all-powerful grace of Almighty God. Grace means unmerited favor. Grace is what God gives us. Faith is based on our connection, remember that? On our connection to God, to the grace, to grace. God saved me by grace. I believe through faith. So grace is powerful. And from the beginning of time, as we know it, because with God there's no such thing as time. There is no time limit with God. God created us, and by the way, he did not make a mistake when he created you. You know, I'm just useless. I'm not good for anything. That's why your pastor has a hard time with this season of the year. Only Christians during this season worship and focus on who Jesus is. And Christians get angry with the lost world because we say out in the secular world, they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. They never put Christ in Christmas. It's a time of holiday for them. It's a time of excitement and hope for us. You see, don't expect the world to have the love that a Christian has for Christmas. They can't. If they don't know Jesus, they can't. Cut them a little slack. And by doing that, what do? You offer them hope. Do we not walk into a place wanting to share the gospel? Well, how do I do that, preacher? You do it through your actions. You do it through your forgiveness. You do it through your charity. You do it through the love that God has given you. Because he said, the day is coming. The prophets proclaim the word of God. They said the king is coming. Listen, Jeremiah 31 through 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand, led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declared the Lord, this is the covenant that you and I are living in today. This is Jeremiah the prophet telling us. And Jeremiah longed to see it himself, but did not get to. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The prophet said the day is coming. You and I are living in that era. We're living in the final days, which began 2,000 years ago at the birth of Christ, ushering in the final age. What's afterwards? We continue to praise God. He continues to have work for us to do. Outside of that, I have absolutely no idea where we're going to do it. But what do I care? Because I'm going to be doing it, and you're going to be doing it by the authority of Almighty God and His total blessing. Our pain will be ended. The broken hearts will be mended. The hurt and the pain of existence itself in the human body will be felt by us no more. No more breaking down. No more trying to get up and not able to do so. For the Lord has come, and it is His Spirit that He places within us. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I and you were fulfilling God's prophecy. You didn't get saved because of a preacher. You got saved because of the grace of God, His Holy Spirit, convicting us of the sin in our life, and that we without Him would have no hope. It's called conviction. God does it. You're not saved by a preacher. The preacher can only preach and proclaim the salvation message of Almighty God. He is our salvation. He is our Savior. He is the one who walks with us and talks with us. He's the one that will never leave us nor ever forsake us. He's the one. And every prophet that you see of the Old Testament, every prophet pointed to the coming of Christ. And in that coming, we are told by God that not only will there be hope, hope will last throughout eternity. You will experience the grace. You will experience the mercy. If we did not have the grace and mercy of God within us, just think about your own situation in your own families and in your own communities and all. Just think of what you're having to battle on the inside. Your mind, that things are in there. You cannot speak. You cannot utter. And yet, they're almost driving you crazy, pushing you to the limit. Without the power of Christ within our life, we could not survive it. Am I out of my mind? I hope so, because it's messed up. Now, Randy and all of them always laugh because I do know that in this brain up here, right, Larry? We just can't help it. In this brain, there are a lot of compartments. Sometimes when I'm preaching, just like right now, one of the other compartments opens up. That's the same mind in you. But Christ says, listen to me. I love you just like you are. I died for you. I died that you would not have to suffer for those things that are within your memory. But don't you think, Lord, it'd be a lot better if I just completely forgot them? When you think about that, if you had nothing agging you with hurt and brokenness within your mind, would you come to church? Would you truly worship the Lord? If you had figured out a way to where that you don't have to think about it. What's going on in our society today is the day of the pills. We take a pill to wake up. We take a pill for each mood swing. We take a pill because we took too many pills for all the other stuff. And if not, maybe we can go and just drink the fire water and forget it. Any that has ever been in that situation has realized something. When you wake up, it's still there. Only now it's worse. God says, let me tell you something. Your body will war against you. God knows that. Our bodies will fight against us. Satan seemingly still has the authority and the power to tempt us from the human condition. And he does. So therefore, you and I as Christians, we agonize from within saying, Lord, I want to do your work. But all the worldly thoughts come into my mind. Let me tell you something about that. When all those memories in that mind decides to go wild with you, and you say, well, I'm only human. Gosh, I hate that statement. I'm only human. Well, frankly, folks, you are spiritual, and this human body happens to be a vehicle God has given us to use while on planet Earth. We got it? I'm only human. You are spiritual. Therefore, I do know this. Now, it gets back to a wise man years ago that told me, you know, Larry, here's what you need to understand. You cannot keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. And all of a sudden, something foolish like that hit me. Oh, I caught that. You know, it's pretty hard for me to catch on to something. But I caught that. So that means the prophet said, the Christ is coming, your Savior is coming, you will have the hope. And when they told us that Christ was coming, how could they relate to what they had not seen or totally witnessed? So they're speaking the voice of God through their heart, and as they speak, God continues to work. They continue to preach and teach, even though they could not see the hope themselves. So by faith, they continued trusting God. That's what our life is all about. And it is Christmas time for the Christians. It's holiday time for those who are not. But for the Christian, frankly, folks, you got to remember something. If I was not a Christian, I would have no right to observe the holiness of Christ's coming. That's only given to those who know Jesus. That's just like taking the Lord's Supper or the holy ordinances. Only Christians have a right to do that because it's through their belief. I do believe in the broken body of Christ. I do believe in the blood poured out for me, which is represented through the Lord's Supper. I believe in the death and the burial of Jesus Christ, which you, each one of us saw represented when we were baptized. Simply telling everyone who was looking on, I believe in the birth, in the death, the burial of Jesus. I'm a believer. And if others don't believe, ask yourself this question. Do they not believe because they don't see a difference in me? Is it they backing away because I'm telling them that I am a Christian, but they don't know what that means to begin with? And don't start quoting them the scripture. They have no idea what you're talking about. How do we do that? You put that scripture in your heart, and you deliver it at the time that God tells you to. Now, don't be using thee and thou at that time. They'll shut you off real quick. Because they'll say, you know, that's got to be from that Bible stuff. So you relate to the community and the society of your day in a way that will give them the message. It began with the prophets. As the prophets looked, they talked about hope. As the prophets foresaw, they knew that one day Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, would come and he would teach, he would preach, he would walk among men for one purpose, to conquer every sin and temptation that any human being has ever experienced. He had to. You and I may help a brother or a sister. And I mean, we're about out of it when we start because we say, you know, it's not as though I don't have my own problems. Jesus comes and accepts the weight of the world, of all who had ever existed and all who ever shall exist. And people say, I wonder why the weight of the cross put him down. Had you ever thought this? That everything Jesus did, he did as an expression of love to tell us something? The weight of the cross on him as a human being was more than he could bear. And the one who was selected to help him bear that cross is the story of how the Holy Spirit indwells us. Every time you think the cross is so heavy and you can't bear it, I got news for you. You don't have to bear it alone. That's why Jesus took it all for you and for me. And he said, I love you. I'll prove it. I'm going to indwell you. I'm going to give you hope right in the midst of hell on earth. Do you ever think you were just going through a period of time of pure hell? Have you ever thought that? Yeah, the rest of you are lying. Yes, you have. Yes. That's hurt. That's pain. Oh, yes, but now, Brother Larry, that sounds so vulgar. Well, the hurt and the pain is pretty vulgar, isn't it? Is that not against our mind and against our physical being? Do we not have to battle a spiritual realm continually? And when we come to this point, the prophecy was fulfilled. That we learn now, even though a lot of times we try to make things work for ourselves. We try to help God out. We haven't done too hot on that. But we try to sort of push God along. God doesn't push us. He opens his arms and invites us. He does not walk away from us. Listen and read the word of Jesus. As the prodigal son was coming back home from over the hill. And the father, the Hebrew culture, they never ran. They would never be caught outside without their coat. Never. It was to glorify God. They would not run. And yet, that father looked out. And there's that son that had been walling with the pigs of life. And he looked, and as he saw the silhouette of his son coming over that hill, he would look. Oh, I can picture him looking back. Mom, son's coming home. Mom, look, there he is. Well, I didn't know that silhouette anywhere. That's our son. He's coming home. And the scripture says that father, you know, so just and so pure and so not into any of that stuff, when he saw his son that had been in the pig pen of life, he threw his coat off from him. And he ran to his son. Ran! It was a story about you and me, folks. The story about you and me. Lord, I'm not worthy. Do we not know that story that Jesus is telling? That the prodigal son, the one who lived in the pig pen, got in trouble in the world? Do we not understand that when the father got to him, the son looked at the father and started to apologize. Father, I'm sorry. Well, it didn't work that way. The father was so happy to see him running, that was proof he was sorry. That was proof. He was coming home. That was proof that the world had broken him, and he knew there was hope at home. And that father yelled back and told his servants, fatten the calf. We're throwing a party. For my son who was lost has now been found. Welcome home, child. Welcome home. Folks, you may not have paid attention to it yet. In your spirit, when you said yes to Jesus, I promise you that Jesus had said, welcome home, child. Welcome home. What'd that mean? By the blood of the Lamb, I am protected. By what he did for me, I am saved. And the world can offer no problems that God can't take care of. Because one day, soon for a lot of us, one day, you're going to get to see it. Woo! The arms open wide. Oh, then you know that's just all in your imagination. No, folks, it's in my heart. It's not do I think I'm saved. I know I'm saved. It's not do I believe in the loving God. I know in the loving God, or I wouldn't still be existing. I know in a God that loves me so much He forgives me. I know the prophecy has been fulfilled because you and I are living in that day where we are saved by the grace of God through faith in His Son Jesus. Not of your own works, or we would be boasting. Look at me, I'm the peacock of the church. You know, look at me. Oh, what a Christian. Now, the Christian always says, look at Jesus. Look at the Word. Look, for He has already come. He's already here. When Jesus came into your heart, He didn't leave. Well, you don't know what I've done. I don't care, and I don't want to hear the story either. Because every human being alive has a story. Tell the good part of the story. You don't have to get into the garbage of it. You know why? It's not a part of you anymore. It's the love. Larry Pete, I just love you. Well, what do I got to do to keep you loving me? What must I do to change in my life, Lord, that'll make you love me more? Nothing. When you have received the love of Almighty God in your heart, there's nothing you can do so bad that God doesn't still love you. And there's nothing you can do so good as you think it'll make Him love you more. We are a mess, folks. But we're God's mess. God's love. It don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise Your name, thanking You for the greatest love story that's ever been heard, the coming of Your Son. Father, though we live many, many years, we shall never understand such great love. Father, though we have witnessed Your hand of salvation, we cannot understand the hope that we see through a world that hates Your name and despises me and all the others who follow You. Father, lift our heart to You as we cry from within. Lift our heart to You, Father, we do, as we notice our sin and realize, Heavenly Father, that on our own we are nothing, but through Jesus there is nothing that can stop us. We're Yours, Father, just waiting for that time for us to cross over into such a life sublime. Your love, Father, You have surrounded us with Your touch. Father, You have given this nation so much. We've walked away out of our own pride, turned our back on You. Father, we've tried to hide. We have looked, but we couldn't see for what we were looking for. Only included me, our selfishness. Father, forgive us. Our pride, Father, we pray You push down. Give us the courage and the holy boldness while we're still above Your ground. Use us, Father, through Your power through the love that only You can give. Oh, Father, we're Your children, the one, Father, You truly forgive. Direct our souls, our minds, our worship, directed solely at You, as You, Father, continue to touch the hearts of man and make them anew. Father, we pray that Your will be done, because we pray it in the name of Your Son. It's in Jesus we beg. Amen.